Macro Know-How. This is episode 140. I don't know. The listener knows. They see it on the thing. 147?
Yeah.
Of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we're talking about... we're kind of easing our way into the year end. So we're doing a kind of a generic just best of. This is funniest.
Yeah. It's funniest.
I had this idea because I watched a John Landis interview where they asked him...
Father of Max Landis.
Yes. Father of Max Landis. They asked him...
American Ultra's Max Landis.
helicopter accident, lawsuit defendant. Basically, they asked him what were his top five... Nick laughing made me laugh. Okay. So basically, they asked him what his top five comedies were. And then he basically got offended. Like, he got angry. It was like typically John Landis angry. He's just like, that stupid question. It's a dumb
John
thing.
John Landis has no sense of humor.
Just loses it. And kind of just explains how things are so different. Like, if you take a movie like Pinocchio and then you name some weird old silent movie, they're like both really funny, yet they're two completely different movies. And it kind of got me thinking.
Wait, is Pinocchio funny?
I actually thought about it.
Not funny.
I thought about it, though. Pinocchio fits more with our current concept of like dark comedies than any other Disney movie.
Okay, I haven't seen it in forever. I remember it being...
But our dark comedies, like laugh out... Are we talking about laugh out loud movies?
There's
or
some
just
funny
like,
moments in it that are really... They're chilling at their...
Yeah. The donkey scene.
Like, yeah.
Well, then. I mean, something I thought, well... Whatever, I'm Nick. You people know who we are.
Yeah,
I'm Nick.
Sir.
Oh, I'm Kyle.
Yeah. So something I thought about putting on my list was the scene in The Lobster where the woman... You've seen The Lobster, right?
I haven't seen The Lobster. Oh. Don't spoil it.
There's a scene in it where a woman tries to kill herself and she doesn't die and she's just like writhing in agony. And it's one of the hardest I've laughed in a theater, to be honest, because it's so messed up. But I didn't include it on my list. But so
that's what it's. Yeah. So I basically was like, well, how do we figure out? If somebody were to ask me what I thought the funniest comedies were, I think I would just think, well, what were the times where I laughed the hardest? Where I remember laughing the hardest. Yeah.
So my approach was like when the BBC earlier this year came out with a list of like they pulled a bunch of critics and they came out with the 100 best comedies. And my list of best comedies doesn't necessarily overlap with my list today because
same here,
there are movies that I think are great comedies but it's a few chuckles throughout.
That's what I was really excited about it because
there's
plenty of things that
and there's movies
there
there's movies that are going to be on my list today that I wouldn't put these on a list of like my top 10 comedies of all time, but there's that one moment that just kills me. But the other thing, and I don't know how you guys approach this list. Like, I had trouble figuring out, like, is it something that made me laugh really hard the first time I saw it? Or is it something that
it still
makes me laugh a little bit and has made me laugh a little bit 100 times?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, that's the thing.
I included a mix of both because, like, what's a better gauge of funny? Something that lasts forever?
And there's quotable, which... And there's so many movies that we quote on a daily basis, but maybe the quote isn't necessarily funny. It's just memorable and, yeah.
I think I went with what made me laugh the hardest at that time. And it's stuff that I did quote for years. And other, you know, like things that me and my sister would bring up years and years later. Yeah. I don't think it's the same as things I quote a lot.
Yeah.
Mine, at least that's not how mine ended up. Well, some of them, I guess, yes, and some no. So,
yeah. So Kyle, what was kind of like your approach to making your list, and what's your number five?
My approach was really just, and it's kind of my approach to most of our lists on this entire show, is just the things that come into my mind first. First, I want to say that this list is it's not saying it's the pinnacle. I'm not laminating my list and it's not set in stone of like, I'm sure I'll think of funnier things when you guys start mentioning things. This is just like the first few things that came to my mind and I had to do a little bit of narrowing down. But I really wanted to include a game on my list and I don't have one on my list in my hand, but I kind of wanted to include it anyway. And my first example is sort of an example of just of a moment that perfectly it was like a perfect timing as far as comedy goes. And the game is not funny at all. I mean, it's actually one of my favorite games of all time, and I retired it, I think, on the show, but I need to bring it back. But there's a part in The Last of Us, which is one of the most intense games you'll ever play.
And but it's hilarious.
Super dark. But there's a part where you're being chased by zombies, and it's really intense, and you need to do like a really fast button motion to get into this garage. And you slam the door shut, and you're being chased by all these zombies. And you slam the door shut, and you're safe, finally. Mm-hmm. And Ellie, who's the main girl in the game, she's like, you're like all just relieved or whatever, and she's like, you got something on your shoe. And you look down, and there's just like a severed hand on your guy's shoe, and he like kicks it off. And it just like, it's so perfectly just kind of matches how you feel in that moment, because it just followed this really intense moment, and the timing is so perfect.
Because you've got that like, the tension relief.
Because she's like a 12, 13-year-old girl, and she's just... It was just perfect. And she's like, you got something on your shoe. And that part, I've played that game a few times, and it just always gets me. I don't hurt from laughing so hard at that moment, but it's just something that makes me smile, and it's just perfect in that moment. So, yeah, that part in The Last of Us is great. Sir, it'll be your number five, if your things are even in order.
Well, I'm going to try to put them in some order.
Yeah.
I know the number one definitely deserves to be there. I really just thought of, well, what did I laugh the hardest at? And a lot of my picks are from when I was a kid, and a lot of them are kind of based on what did I rewind a lot? What do I remember kind of like laughing at every time? So there was this 1995 comedy drama directed by Stephen Brill called Heavyweights.
Oh.
And this movie...
There was an early Judd Apatow, wasn't there?
Early Judd Apatow. Ben Stiller...
It's terrifying.
Boards in this. Jerry Stiller shows up. Kenan Thompson. It's just really great.
Well, you said Jeffrey Tambor is in it?
Yeah.
Accused sexual assaulter Jeffrey Tambor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh,
gross. Also lost his job.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck him. So, basically, there's a scene where... And Ben Stiller is like this fitness guru who runs the whole thing. And there's this great scene where he's working out. And he's kind of like, he's jogging, and he's running, and he jumps over this log, and then he turns back, picks it up, and like lifts it over his head, and is just like, you devil log, and like throws it. Oh my God. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen as a kid. I have no idea why. Just the way that he said it, and just how insane and horrible of a character that he was. I thought that movie was so funny. I watched a supercut of like all of his scenes from it the other day.
I laughed a lot.
He's basically the same guy he is in Dodgeball.
The only scene that I really remember from that movie with him in it is when he's like on a cliff or something, and he jumps off and is like, he's like showing off to them. Yeah, it's
just great.
Yeah.
Rewound it many times. Nick, what's your number five?
The order of these, I just don't know. All right. Number five. So this movie is kind of a black comedy. It's not. It's something that, like, the first time I watched it, I would laugh at a couple things because they're, like, kind of awkward and uncomfortable. And the more I've watched it, the more I find it funny, because you're kind of used to how insufferable the main character is. This movie's Inside Llewyn Davis by the Coen brothers. But the funniest scene, one of the hardest I've ever laughed in the theater, is the Please Mr. Kennedy song.
Outer?
Which
space.
Adam Driver in this puts on the best, like most economical performance, because he's only in the movie for about 3 minutes. His only lines are outer space. Oh no. And it's just the funniest. It's the funniest thing in the world to me. Yeah. Inside Llewyn Davis. I just love it.
I lost my list.
Oh no.
I do this every once in a while. I'll like click through. Let's see. Something that I know is on my list, and I'll bring back my list a little bit. I guess Spaceballs has to be on there with the Comb of the Desert. And this movie was kind of hard for me to really narrow down my favorite moment because there's a lot. I love looking at sort of just like favorite scenes from movies like this and seeing a montage of just incredible moments. Also the scene where Dark Helmet is playing with his dolls is like hilarious. It's so good.
Oh man.
I didn't see you playing with your dolls, sir.
he's so good. And really anytime Rick Moranis is on screen, it's incredible because his helmet is just comedic gold. But yeah, I know you love Blazing Saddles and you think it's the most funny Mel Brooks movie, but for me I think Spaceballs is it, mostly because I've just seen it so many times. This was a movie I didn't rewind it, but I rewatched it just so many times. So it was incredible, and it's funny because I think a majority of my list I associate with our dad, just like seeing these movies with him and joking about them with him. So it's great. Sir, what would be your number four?
Well, quick thing about Spaceballs. And I've watched a lot of movies while tripping on mushrooms. And I've watched like Fantastic Planet. I've watched Holy Mountain. Oof. I have never turned a film off before until I tried to watch Spaceballs tripping on mushrooms a couple
years
ago.
What part was it?
It was Dark Helmet's helmet, man. Something about it. Like,
it wasn't even
it.
Like the spaceship that turned into
so
a maid.
Bizarre. It just like it, the whole thing just seemed wrong, and I couldn't handle it.
That's awesome.
So my number four is from Dumb and Dumber, and it's probably one of the only things on here where I think the movie is like really, really good, really good comedy. And it's the scene at the end, and I'm going to spoil a 30-some-odd-year-old movie.
Is Dumb and Dumber really spoilable?
Basically, there's this scene at the end where they meet the guy that the woman who Lloyd loves is married to, and they like. And Lloyd pulls out a revolver and starts shooting at him. And it turns out that he's just imagining it. And man, as a kid, I don't know, something about that scene, it just cracked me up. Like, I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And I think a lot of it was Jim Carrey's conviction and just how completely wild he seems in that moment. And I thought about it later, and I'm a big fan of Cable Guy, and a lot of people aren't because they think it's too dark and, you know, it's like kind of the ugly side of Jim Carrey. That scene, Dumb and Dumber is the ugly side of Jim Carrey. The whole point of that movie is that they're terrible people.
Yeah.
If they hadn't had really horrible villains in the story, they would have seemed like they would have been the worst people in the thing. And I thought, I just think it's a great movie, and that was just so funny, man. Nick, what's your number four?
Yeah, my number four, this might actually be the hardest I ever laughed in theaters, because I remember falling out of my chair laughing so hard at this, but it's something I'm loath to put it higher because I don't even remember like the context for it. It's a movie that I haven't seen again since then. But it's from the movie Borat, and it's the scene where he and I don't even remember if the guy's like his lawyer or like his assistant or something, but they just have this naked, like protracted fight scene, like within a convention at a hotel. And it's like, I don't remember anything about it other than I was nearly pissing myself laughing. And then when I was with Thema last night, we went to see The Room, which many things from The Room could easily be on this list. But I didn't put them on there. But I mentioned this was probably going to be on my list. And he's like, that's the very first thing I thought of when we talked about this list, is that scene from Borat. Just because it's so like absurdly over the top. But I mean, a lot of these other things will always bring a small chuckle to me. This is the one that like at the time just got me so hard. Borat. Kyle, what's your number three?
I can't narrow some of these down.
I know
it's gonna hurt me to
leave some of them off.
We'll
do a real quick honorable mentions. We have to, because I can't not talk about some of these.
Awesome. I have to talk about Kung Pao then, just because I love this movie, and it is strictly just a memory thing. I'm sure if I watched it again, it wouldn't be quite as funny. But have you seen Kung Pao? Know anything really about it? Like what kind of movie it is?
I only saw it once.
Yeah, that's what Nick said too. I feel like this is the type of movie where you either like really get into it. I also watched it when I was pretty young, and it's probably the movie I would quote the most, maybe mm-hmm. next to like Wayne's World. But there's a character in it. So basically, Kung Pao, for people who haven't seen it, it's a movie by Steve Odenkirk, I think is his name. He takes this really, a couple old Kung Fu movies, redubs them and puts himself in the movie and makes a story out of it. And it's incredible. But one of the characters that he introduces in the movie, he goes by the name Wimplo. And one of the funniest things about him is that they make the character have squeaky shoes. So anytime he's running in any scene, he's got these squeaky shoes. And it's just like the funniest thing. And his character, they purposely trained him wrong as a joke. So he's just the biggest loser. And he's, anytime he's on screen, they're just making fun of him. At one point he mentions that he's a real man because he goes pee-pee standing up. And it's just... he's so great. The whole movie is full. I was messaging our sister Leah and asking her like what she thought was the funniest scene, and like we were both having just a really hard time of narrowing it down. But I'd say just any part where Wimplo is on screen is a safe bet. But there are a ton of funny parts in that movie. But it is definitely a very specific type of humor that if it's not funny to you, maybe you think this whole movie is just really stupid. Mm-hmm. There is a cow fight scene that is super dumb, but Wimplo and Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. Sir, I'll be your number three.
So my number three is from the late night the Saturday night late night comedy wars that briefly were going on between SNL, Mad TV, and for a while Living Color, I guess. I don't know if that was that around Saturday night. In any case,
I think it was.
This is back when Mad TV was still funny. There's this sketch that came on, and it's Phil LaMarr, and I can't think of the guy's name. It's like kind of the very basic looking white guy. Mm.
The guy who would play Stewart?
Maybe. I actually don't think so.
I'll look it up.
The other one. It's called The Report. And essentially, Phil LaMarr is his boss.
Is it Michael McDonald?
I think so. This guy, let me look it up. This guy brings a report to him, and the report is so bad that it's driven Phil LaMarr insane. And he's like gone on a rampage like the night before from reading the report. He's like killed a guy. He has a dude's head. It's just, it's kind of hard to describe. Yet, like, listeners, just look it up. It's one of the funniest sketches you'll ever see. And it was like, it was that perfect kind of sketch. They had to, listeners who don't remember, they used to have to like play the gorier sketches kind of later. Mm-hmm. And like this one had like a severed head and like some violence in it. So it was like really late. And it was just this really obscure sketch. And I thought about it for years and years and years. And finally the YouTube era came around and I was able to see it again. But I laughed harder at that than almost anything else I've ever laughed at. Like, so yeah, listeners, look up Mad TV, The Report. It's on YouTube and it's just hilarious. And Phil LaMarr is a genius. Nick, what's your number three?
My number three, I feel like, is a movie that was really popular at the time, and then for whatever reason, people kind of diss on now because of how popular it was. But I've rewatched it in the last, like, maybe year, and it's still so funny. And this scene especially is just, like, so gross, over the top. I'm trying to think. Like, there are a couple other actresses that are in it, and now that I'm thinking, like, I bet there's something else.
Bridesmaids.
Yeah, I'm like, I bet there's something else that Maya Rudolph has done that has made me maybe laugh hard.
Good
in this
thing that I, but I think I cut this from my list.
The dress fitting scene, is just so.
This is one of my shame picks.
You've never seen it?
Never seen Bridesmaids.
Oh, man. It's so funny. Like, it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
And, like, the dress fitting scene is so funny. And the way it ends with Maya Rudolph, just like...
It's happening.
It's happening. It's walking happening. Down the street going, it's happening.
It happened. It happened. And when Melissa McCarthy's like, it's coming out of me like lava. It's just like...
It's
so great. I remember laughing really hard in the theater during that part.
Yeah. And seeing it in theaters, like seeing comedies in theaters, I don't do it very often, but it's so much better. Like there's something that I'll talk about in honorable mentions that I feel like if I would have seen it in theaters, it would have made this list.
Yeah.
Cause I was like almost crying laughing at this thing. Just watching it at home with Nelly.
Yeah.
It was the clip I showed you guys yesterday.
Which one?
I'll talk about it later. But yeah, Maya Rudolph, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, like all of them at their best in this scene. And Kristen Wiig is just so funny because she's like trying to play it cool.
Oh yeah.
And she just looks like death and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Maya Rudolph, Kristen Wiig is one of those people who she hasn't done anything good in a little while.
I think she peaked at Bridesmaids. Yeah.
But there was a time when I remember she's in The Martian and she'd come on screen and people would just start laughing just seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
And the two people who've become that for me now are Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, she on SNL. Is like, hilarious.
Whenever I see her, I just start laughing.
God, her Jeff Sessions.
Oh, God, it's so good. Her dad being a badger.
Yeah. The possum thing.
Yeah, the possum.
Yeah. I'll tail.
And then I've over the last like maybe year gone back and watched some of the older SNLs, but Maya Rudolph, like nobody,
she's one of the best.
Nobody was funnier than her. She's so good. And then I rewatched Popstar, which is something else that I considered putting a couple of scenes from on my
he
list.
He is.
Yeah, he's ridiculous in it, but the one short scene where she's in it, where somebody's like, oh, something, something, Deborah. She goes, oh, actually, it's pronounced Deborah. And he goes, oh, really? What's the origin of that? And she goes, I believe it's Deborah. Anyways, I love Maya Rudolph. I love that Bridesmaid scene. Kyle, what's your number two?
Well, that makes it a little easier. My number two is Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which is kind of funny because I think I admitted a couple weeks ago that I haven't seen this movie in its entirety.
Oh, really?
I've seen scenes. So yeah. I've seen Bring Out Your Dead. Mm-hmm. I've seen the witch thing, which is so good.
She's a witch.
But I think it has to be The Black Knight. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
which I don't even know if this is sort of like a laugh out loud moment or just sort of a memorable, goofy scene.
That's what I ended up not
with
thinking.
Monty Python stuff. It's like it's funny, but it never like hurts you for how funny funny a lot of the stuff is. Mm-hmm. But it's just
there's a lot of things in that I really thought about putting the killer rabbit / holy hand grenade scene on there.
Myself with that.
Yeah,
that's yeah.
Honorable mention for me.
But yeah, like. Him calling him a pansy when he's missing most of his limbs and stuff. It's just, it's so good. But yeah, it's definitely just a type of comedy that if it's funny to some people and it's probably not funny to other people. And yeah, this is just something that I guess we don't really quote it a lot, but it is just a really memorable scene that was still funny. So. Sir, what would be your number two, I think?
It's really hard to pick these last two. And, I mean, the honorable mentions, I think I almost feel the same way about.
Yeah, we have to do honorable mentions.
Well, this was the other side of the SNL side of the 90s late-night sketch wars. There's this sketch out there about the VH1 Storytellers thing. It's Neil Diamond, played by Will Ferrell. And he's basically, the format is him telling stories about like how he wrote the songs. Have you ever seen it?
I don't think so.
It's Neil Diamond, John Goodman, and Tim Meadows.
I don't remember this.
Okay. Well, I pulled the transcript up because it's so much of it is just about how Neil Diamond, all the lyrics are, you know, supposedly pro-America and just sweet. He's talking about, he said, many people don't realize that I'm fueled creatively by my massive hatred of immigrants. And then he starts singing They're Coming to America. And each song he veers off and he starts singing something else that like has nothing to do with the song, and he's singing, and keep in mind Tim Meadows is back here like, and by this point he's angrily like playing the keyboard, and here's Neil Diamond, you hate your keyboard player because he's black. Never had the courage to tell him so. Tim Meadows, the look on his face and just the whole thing, oh man. They talk about how Neil Diamond's into this, like, weird, barely legal porno, and John Goodman goes, yeah, he likes that kind of stuff you can't send in the mail. Oh, my God. Listeners, look it up. VH1 Storytellers, Will Ferrell, SNL. It's hilarious. It's, and I think they've kind of, like, attempted to bury it a little bit. Like, there's a clip out there that it's from, I think, a VH1 special on SNL. So, like, Lorne Michaels is in it, but it's great. It's horrible. It's very inappropriate, not safe for work. Yeah, it's just great. Nick, what's your number two?
My number two, I can't do this justice. It's just one of those things where you see it and it makes me laugh so hard. I mean, I could have picked any scene from Blazing Saddles, really. And I wanted to go with, like, the first time... Cleavon Little and Gene Wilder meet each other, because that's a great scene in the whole this is my shooting hand.
Yeah.
But I have to go with Madeline Kahn, who is Oscar nominated in this role, is Lili von Stupp, who's like a burlesque show singer who's supposed to try to seduce basically the sheriff, Bart, at the behest of, you know, the villains. And she has like this lisp,
craziest speech impediment.
Yeah, she has like a really strong lisp, and just everything about Madeline Kahn was so funny. Like, she was so underrated as a comic actress, and somebody like, people are like, her adoring fans are giving her things, and she's just so like blasé about the whole thing. Somebody gives her a rose and she goes, oh, a wed woes, how romantic. Oh, it's so good. And then awesome. Following that is like a pretty famous scene from the movie where she ends up hooking up with Bart, and she's like, is it twoo about what they say about you people? And then it's twoo.
Her voice is awful.
Yeah, I love her in that movie. Kyle, what's your number one?
I still can't decide which scene. And I don't know if... I mean, do I have to choose a scene? But I guess... The Jerk, which... Okay, so before... I guess it was it off air when we were talking about it? We were always watching scenes in preparation, and Lisa was in the room, and she...
Oh, I'm picking out a thermos for you. Not an ordinary thermos for you. But the extra best thermos you can buy. With vinyl and stretch and a cup of wine. I'm picking out a thermos for you.
It's so good.
How is this not my number one?
He's so good. But I was listening to this scene, that scene. The scene at night when he's talking to Marie and she's asleep and he's like, I have something to say that I've never been able to say before. Mm-hmm. He's like the slitted,
it's some tongue twister.
Yeah. And he's like, I've never been comfortable enough to say that before. And then he's talking about how they've only been dating for 4 weeks and 20 something days.
But the first day felt like 2 days.
And the fourth day you went to your mom's. So that just felt like
just a regular
day. But it's just with Steve Martin in that scene, and for the majority of this movie, he's just so like calm and straight faced, and just so almost awkward with his comedy. It's so hilarious. The scene when he's being shot at the gas station, and he like realizes that he's being shot at, and then the guy's like, "He hates these cans.
Stay away from the cans."
It's so good. But yeah, Lisa was saying how she's like, The Jerk might be the funniest movie ever. And
it really
we've always, In our family, we've always thought of The Jerk as being kind of like a rite, almost like a rite of passage with boyfriends or girlfriends. Where like, if what, how do they think of it?
Yeah,
you know?
I think I watched it with Nelly like years ago, but we probably need to revisit it.
Yeah,
The Jerk. I looked it up on Blu-ray like semi recently, and they came out with something like the 29th year anniversary. Like,
it would.
What would it even?
The cat juggling scene. It's one of these scenes for me where I laughed at that. Like,
I
for
love
minutes,
I
like,
love
at a time.
I checked the IMDb page, and Steve Martin is credited as Maven Johnson and the cat juggler. It's incredible. But yeah, The Jerk is so good. Steve Martin, he is incredible, but he's just, he needs to, I don't know, do something now. Sir, what would be your number one?
Well, and this was an easy first pick because it was the first thing that I thought of.
Yeah.
And I pretty much got to five and I just stopped. I didn't try to go any further past that, and because I knew it would just fill up, and yet this stayed number one. My dad rewound this easily 9-10 times the first time we saw it, and we were just cracking up. I mean, it was the days of VHS. I'm just gonna play the clip.
I think you told me what show it was from, and is it this scene? Oh,
is it getting hit? Yeah.
We did the same thing.
Yeah. What is this from? Because I've never seen this before.
1998's Meet Joe Black. That's the best scene.
I've never seen this before, but I know, were you and Tim? Was it you and Tim Katanik? Like, or no?
Maybe no. I saw it with Anthony.
Oh, okay. I remember you and someone like kept rewinding it over and over.
We watched it at least 20 times. Like, we watched the beginning of the movie, this, and then just kept watching this over and over again.
Yeah.
For listeners, it's just Joe Black. I presume that's the character's name.
That's him.
Getting hit by a car. And it's not supposed to be funny.
Then he gets hit by another car. It's there.
As soon as you said rewinding over and over again, this is the first scene that I remembered coming up.
Definitely not supposed to be funny at all. And easily one of the funniest scenes in American history. I mean,
all right.
Everybody I talked to about that like just burst out laughing when they realized what I'm talking about.
What I was saying yesterday is this list is going to be so hard because there's like going to be movies that weren't that funny that had one moment. Yeah. Or there's movies that aren't even comedies that will have a moment that
this
just killed
is the best
you.
Example of it, I think.
I feel like I don't even want to give my number one.
Oh man,
it's pretty funny. I think one of the best things is that he almost gets hit by a first car and he has a joke.
He gets out of the way.
Nick, what's your number one?
My number one is like maybe it's one of the most quoted things for me, and it's nothing that like made me fall out of the chair, but every time it comes up I'll say it and laugh, so it's made me laugh probably the most out of anything.
Yeah,
and this is from Best in Show. Harlan Pepper says, I used to be able to name every nut that there was, and it used to drive my mother crazy because she used to say, Harlan Pepper, if you don't start naming nuts. And the joke was that we lived in Pine Nut, and I think that's what put it in my mind at that point. So she would hear me in the other room and she'd just start yelling. I'd say peanut, hazelnut,
cashew
nut, macadamia nut. That was the one that would always send her into going crazy. She'd say, would you stop naming nuts? And Hubert used to be able to make that sound. He couldn't talk, but he'd go, rah, rah. And that sounded like macadamia nut. Pine nut, which is a nut, but it's also the name of a town. Pistachio nut, red pistachio nut. Natural, all white pistachio nut.
That's another scene that is just going,
white pistachio nut.
It's so awkward that it's hilarious. He's so great. But what you didn't mention is the beginning of that scene, which is equally as funny.
Is that the him doing the... Please, yeah. This gets baby all I this is
mail. He's just so, he's so weird. He's so good. That's another movie that is just so quotable. Like the Busy Bee. I'm surprised you didn't talk about Busy Bee.
I really thought about putting Busy Bee. At my,
don't look at these other, the other fat ass.
Don't look at the other losers. You look at me.
So good.
Oh, all right. What were some of your guys' honorable mentions? Because I know we got a bunch.
I mean, your list actually got a few of mine. The only other one was the I think it was the Naughty 90s. I didn't even know that the Who's on First sketch was from that, but the Who's on First sketch from Abbott and Costello.
Oh yeah,
hilarious. And I still think that that's one of the greatest sort of bits. And I didn't even know it's technically from a movie. Trying to think of other ones. I had the Bridesmaids and
I had
Best in Show.
Dave Chappelle's Mad Real World as one that I laughed almost the entire way through to the point where I had to like watch it again. Like I had to wait for it to come on again.
I had sex with Katie too, man.
Lastly, you didn't have sex with me. He's like, no, I just taped it. I saw you did have sex with me. Oh my god.
We were talking about
that. They introduced Tyree. Yeah. I went to prison. Nobody asked him. I don't feel safe. Tyree, you stabbed my dad. Yeah, I mean, it was really funny. Laughed the entire way through.
Pretty much Jim Carrey in the entirety of Ace Ventura movies.
Yeah. I've got a big list, so I'll just go through them real quick. The Austin Powers scene where they're
the mall scene. That was another one that I took on my list.
Oh, really? I was going to go with the one with Dr. Evil talking about in the therapy session.
Yeah.
My father was a drunk. He claimed he invented the question mark.
Chloe with webbed feet.
anything from Wayne's World. Yeah. And now for something completely different, another Monty Python movie based on skits from the show. Specifically the how to disarm someone who's attacking you with a banana. he just pulls it, like he comes at me with a banana, and the guy like pulls a banana out like a knife and he goes, ah, and he shoots him. He goes, next you eat the banana, thus disarming him.
Is that was the race of incontinence or whatever, the marathon of...
Oh, it's some, yeah, some...
Was that the show? I wasn't sure what...
It was both. So this is a movie, like, where they tied in sketches into each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that being really funny, too.
I had Eddie Murphy's White Like Me sketch. when he tries to pay for the newspaper, and the guy's just like, No, just take it. Nobody's watching. Just go ahead and take it. It's so great.
Something that a bit that reminds me of that, and I'm sure it was like a mild allusion to, is in Scrubs, Turk gets a new phone, and the number is Call Turk. And somebody's like, "Well, that's 8 letters. Like, you don't need that." And he's like, "You're not going to do like Call Tur. Like, that's what it would be." And they say it'd be better if your name was Cal Turk. And then it cuts to Turk in whiteface sitting behind a desk, like talking to a couple like white people about some kind of like insurance thing or something like that. And then he just goes, "Now who wants some milk?" Caddyshack, the llama scene where he's talking about the llama. The talking can of corn in Wet Hot American Summer saying that it can suck its own dick. The picking out a thermos scene, the 37 dicks from Clerks. I couldn't come up with a good one from Clerks or Mallrats, but I wanted to put both of those on.
Yeah.
Another one in theaters that I saw that always made me laugh, because I saw it multiple times in theaters, was in Superbad when he had to go to... when he talks about how he had to go to therapy because he couldn't stop drawing dicks.
Oh, jeez.
The Many Names of David Ryder is from a season 8 episode of MST3K, where there's just like, it's based on this movie Space Mutiny, and they just give this dude like this action hero nicknames, and there's a there's a wiki page of all of the names in alphabetical order. So Beat Punch Beef, I'm just gonna pick a few random: Gristle McThornbody, Fist Rockbone, Fridge Large Meat, Punch Rock Grind,
Buff Beef Broth, Big McLarge Huge,
Buff Hardback, Brick Hard Meat, Whip Slag Cheek. And then Girls Trip is the one that I was saying. I think if I had seen that in theaters, it might have been able to put it over the top for me. Where Tiffany Haddish is actually getting like Best Supporting Actress Oscar buzz for this movie, which I think would be amazing because she's so fucking funny in this movie. But there's a scene. There's a scene early. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
There's a scene early on where they're at the airport and like Jada Pinkett Smith is like stressed out before they go on the flight. And Tiffany Haddish says like, "Oh, I've got some bomb ass kush if you want to like smoke up before we go." And she's like, "Where are you hiding? You know what? Don't even tell me." She goes, "I'm not going to tell you." "All right, I'll tell you."
"Okay, I'm going to tell you. Where the sun don't shine. You know, a lot of people think that means the vagina. But actually, it's the butthole. I got drugs in my booty.
You know what? That can cause a lot of infection."
"Girl, you can't get no infection in your booty hole. It's a booty hole."
So somebody was saying on Twitter, if she gets nominated for Best Supporting Actress at the Oscars,
show that scene.
Her clip should just be her saying, "It's a booty hole."
Yes.
Oh, she's so funny in that movie.
I think my number one honorable mention is probably Half-Baked, though.
Oh, God, how did I pick something from Half-Baked?
I mean, there's just so many. Yeah. I feel like we talked about it the other week. I want to talk to Samson.
Pop, pop, pop.
I don't know why. I believe him, yo. I don't know why, but I do.
Hey, guys.
I don't know why that's so funny.
I'm Cuban B. Yes, Cuban B.
When they break out of the weed facility, and the cops like shine a light on him, and he just starts doing the mime shit. Oh, man.
Oh, that's a great movie. That's one, like, if you would have asked us in high school, it would have been like that.
Mm-hmm.
Clerks or Mallrats.
Maybe something from Swingers.
Oh, yeah. Swingers is another one where I, like, couldn't come up with...
I couldn't think of what scene it would be.
Maybe just those two.
Maybe when they're playing hockey. And he's
Superfan 99.
Superfan 99 over here.
Oh, your head's bleeding.
Make his head bleed.
Them like... talking him up before he goes talk to the girl. Like, "You're so money, you don't even know it."
And the look on Fabric's face.
Yeah.
When they're doing it, it's really
"You're
great.
Like this big bear, like, man.
Deer in the headlights look."
That would have been a good one. Yeah. So, listeners, we know we missed some stuff.
Yeah, like, we missed some things.
There's some stuff that we missed for sure. We want to hear yours.
Yeah.
Let us know. And what was that, episode 147 next week? I think next week we're going to be doing.
We should probably figure out what episode we're on.
Yeah, next week we're going to be doing end of the year.
End of the year, yeah.
2017. 2017 leading into pretty it
good.
A little bit.
I feel like it's a good year.
It was a pretty good year for nothing. This year was horrible.
What's a good year for movies?
Well, yeah.
It was a good year for black movies. Games.
I mean, I've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
No, I mean life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Life was...
Or not. I mean, my life was fine. I had a baby. And
I can't complain.
Oh, baby.
But the world at large...
Yeah.
Ooh, woof.
It not still great. Makes me sad when we were talking about Trump a few years ago, and we made that joke about, "I'll see you in internment camp," whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were all just, like, thinking, oh, there's no way you could win. But.
Here we are.
Anyway. Jeez. Politics. Am I right?
Yeah. Another one I thought about... I only included movies. If I would have included TV shows, Veep.
Oh man, Veep is hilarious.
Veep is so good. God, okay. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Is maybe, I think she's maybe the funniest person alive.
Yeah. Brooklyn Nine-Nine with the goiters.
Oh, that
was so good.
Alrighty.
Anyway.
Yeah, join us next week. I'm Nick.
I'm Sir.
And Kyle.
Bye.
On the Tropes.